Right. July 2026. I've looked at the charts, I've checked the transits, and I have opinions about all of you. This is Bad Astrologer, the monthly podcast where the stars tell you things your friends are too polite to say. I'm not your friend. Let's begin. Aries. Saturn in Aries. Neptune in Aries. Mercury retrograde from 4 July. Full moon in Aquarius on 30 July. July is the month you decide to fix everything. Your sleep, your gut health, your posture, your relationship with stress, your relationship with your mother, possibly your relationship with carbohydrates. You will begin all of these projects before the second week. You will have abandoned all but one by the third. The one you keep will be the least useful, probably the cold showers. Saturn has been sitting in your first house since earlier this year, doing what Saturn does, which is essentially standing in your kitchen in a high-vis vest, pointing at all the structural issues you've been papering over with activity. You respond to this by becoming busier. You've mistaken motion for progress before. You're doing it again. Neptune is also in your first house, which means the self-image you're working from may not be entirely accurate. You feel like you're the person who has it together and just needs to sort out a few small things. The people around you are watching someone fight a losing battle with their own coping mechanisms and hoping for the best. Mercury goes retrograde on 4th July and doesn't come back until the 25th. It's doing this in Cancer, which is your fourth house, home, family, roots, the past you are absolutely not thinking about. Every conversation about something practical will somehow end up being about something old and unresolved. This is annoying for you. It is fascinating for everyone else. In relationships, you'll be helpful this month. Exceptionally, almost aggressively helpful. When you're uncomfortable with your own emotional interior, you tend to project manage the people closest to you, and right now, your emotional interior is a building site. They don't need the flat pack furniture assembled. They need you to sit still for 20 minutes and not solve anything. This is almost impossible for you, I know. Venus starts the month in Leo, your fifth house, which is romance and pleasure and the version of yourself you most enjoy being. Mid-month, she moves into Virgo and the light shifts. You'll notice it as a vague sense that things have become more complicated. The person who seemed straightforward in June has preferences. That's not a problem, but you might treat it like one. Work is where this month will convince you it's being kind. Jupiter has just entered Leo, your fifth house, and there's a real warmth to this, a sense that your particular brand of enthusiasm is being rewarded rather than merely tolerated. Enjoy this. Bank it. Don't immediately spend it on a scheme. Mars is in Gemini, your third house, which means your communication is fast and a little chaotic, and you will send at least one message this month that you wish you could take back. The retrograde Mercury will make this worse. Proofread. Wait an hour. Send it anyway, but at least feel the pause. The thing you won't want to hear. The wellness project isn't the problem you're trying to solve. You know what the problem is. It lives in the fourth house. It came up in a conversation in 2019 that you remember more clearly than you admit, and no amount of cold showers will touch it. Saturn in your first house would just like you to consider making an appointment. The full moon on 30th of July falls in Aquarius, your 11th house, in a direct opposition to all that first house activity. Something about how you appear to yourself versus how you appear to the people who actually know you. You'll feel this as a strange tiredness. It's not tiredness. It's clarity with nowhere to sit down. You're not a mess. You're someone who put all their systems in place to avoid sitting with something, and July is the month those systems stop being quite good enough. That's not catastrophic. That's progress, even when it doesn't feel like it. Right. Next up. Taurus. There is a particular kind of exhaustion that comes from being the most competent person in your family, and July is going to remind you what it feels like. Not because anything dramatic happens, because nothing does, and you're the one who has to hold it all together anyway. The month opens with the Sun still in Cancer, which means your third and fourth houses are activated, short distance travel, siblings, the immediate family environment. Mercury is also in Cancer, and it goes retrograde on the 4th of July, where it will stay until the 25th. I mention this now so that when a family member says something in the second week of July that you will be absolutely certain you heard correctly, you can at least tell yourself it might have been a miscommunication. It probably wasn't. But it's there if you need it. Saturn in Aries is squaring your sign, which it's been doing for a while now. If you've been experiencing a low-level background sense of being obligated to people who never asked whether you had capacity, that's Saturn. It will feel, this month, less like a philosophical burden and more like a specific person calling to ask if you can help with something. You will say yes. You will resent saying yes approximately 48 hours later. You will say nothing about the resentment because you are Taurus, and expressing emotional discomfort would mean moving quickly. Jupiter has just entered Leo at the very start of the month, sitting at the threshold of your fourth house. There is money here, eventually, possibly connected to property or family inheritance or a domestic situation that needs resolving. The word eventually is doing a lot of work in that sentence. Right now, Jupiter newly in Leo mostly means that someone in your family circle has become suddenly, inexplicably confident in their opinions about your life. You will find this irritating in a very specific way, not because they're wrong, exactly, but because they're not entirely right either, and that's the harder thing to argue with. Venus begins July in Leo, which is lovely, warm, and a little theatrical for your tastes. It moves into Virgo around the middle of the month, which you will find considerably more comfortable. What this means in practice is that the first half of July brings the kind of romantic energy that requires you to perform being delighted, and the second half brings something quieter and more practical. If you're in a relationship, July is the month you and your partner sort out a household problem together and accidentally feel closer for it. If you're not in a relationship, you will fall slightly in love with someone's organisational system. These are not entirely different experiences for a Taurus. The full moon in Aquarius on the 30th lights up your 10th house, career, reputation, how the world sees you, and it coincides with Pluto at nearly the same degree in Aquarius. Something you've been doing quietly, competently, and without much fanfare is about to get noticed. This should be straightforwardly good news. You will find a reason to be anxious about it anyway. Here is the thing I want you to sit with this month. There is a difference between being reliable and having never been given the option to be anything else. July is going to ask you, in approximately three separate incidents, whether those are the same thing. They aren't. You know they aren't. But you'll probably wait until August to admit it, which is very on-brand, and also, in its own deeply frustrating way, one of the most admirable things about you. Moving on, and it doesn't get better. Gemini. You are going to spend July being absolutely furious with someone you love, and at least 40% of that fury will be your own fault. You won't see it that way. You never do. Uranus has just moved into Gemini, and Mars is already there. And what that produces in you this month isn't energy exactly. It's more like a live wire that's come loose from its fitting. You feel like you could do anything. You feel like you could do 17 things simultaneously. You will, in fact, do about 2.5 of them. And then a family WhatsApp message will arrive, and the rest of the month will be organized around your feelings about that. The beginning. The first week arrives with Mercury still direct, which is your small window to say the thing you've been meaning to say. You won't use it. Geminis are very good at articulating other people's situations with devastating accuracy and very bad at naming what they actually need, because naming it makes it real, and real things can be refused. So you'll make a joke instead. The joke will be good. No one will notice you were serious. On 4th of July, Mercury turns retrograde in Cancer, where it will stay until the 25th. Cancer, rules the fourth house for most chart setups, which means home, family, roots, and all the tender, embarrassing bits you'd rather no one examined too closely. Mercury retrograde here is less your emails will go missing, and more your mother will say the thing she always says, and this time you will take it personally in a new and interesting way. The middle. There's a moment somewhere in the middle of July, probably around the 10th to the 15th, when Mercury is deepest in its backward slide, where a family obligation will appear. It won't be framed as an obligation. It will be framed as just a thought, or it would mean a lot, or possibly just a long silence on the phone that you feel compelled to fill. You will agree to something you don't want to do. You will agree to it because you cannot bear the particular expression on their face, or the particular tone of voice, or the memory of what happened the last time you said no. What you will absolutely not do is examine why this person has this power over you. That's for therapy. You're busy. At work, Saturn in Aries is pushing hard on your 11th house, your networks, your ambitions, your sense of where you fit in the larger picture. There's a version of this month where you make a genuinely useful professional connection. That version requires you to be present and focused, which requires you not to be in the middle of a three-day internal monologue about the family thing. Reader, you will be in the middle of a three-day internal monologue about the family thing. The end. The full moon on 30th July lands in Aquarius, which is your ninth house, the one that governs perspective, meaning, and the uncomfortable question of what you actually believe. After a month of being tangled up in other people's needs and your own resentment of them, this moon asks you to zoom out. You will feel, briefly, a sense of clarity so clean it almost hurts. Then someone will text and you'll lose the thread entirely. Venus moves into Virgo this month, which sits in your fourth house. And here's the thing no one says about Gemini. You aren't cold. You're frightened of being too much. You perform lightness because depth feels dangerous, and then you're baffled when people don't know how much you care. They don't know because you told them a joke when you meant to say something true. You already know this. You've known it for years. You're very good at knowing things and then carrying on exactly as before. Next victim, Cancer. The flat tells the story before you do. There's a pot soaking that has been soaking since Tuesday. There are three half-drunk glasses of water on the bedside table because you keep forgetting the previous ones exist. Something in the fridge has a lid on it but no label, and you know exactly what it is because you made it, and somehow that feels like enough. This is July, and the theme is you have let things accumulate, and you are calling it cozy. Mercury is retrograde from the 4th to the 25th, and it's doing this in Cancer, which is your first house. Your own sign, your own house. The planet of communication and thought is reversing through the part of the chart that governs how you present yourself to the world. And you're going to respond to this by having long, circling internal conversations that go nowhere, second-guessing emails you've already sent, and reopening emotional situations that had, in fact, closed. You'll call it processing. The people around you will call it something else, quietly. Amongst themselves. The beginning of the month has the sun still in Cancer, and you'll feel briefly luminous, expansive, at home in yourself. The kind of person who makes soup from scratch and means it. Mercury's retrograde kicks in just as that glow peaks, which is cosmically rude. Plans you made with confidence in June will need revisiting. Do not sign anything. Do not have the important conversation you've been putting off, because you will have it wrong. Have it in August when you can actually finish a sentence. Saturn in Aries is sitting in your 10th house, which governs career and public reputation. Saturn, there is an extremely unfun taskmaster who thinks your work ethic has gotten a bit comfortable and would like a word. You have been coasting on goodwill and competence without pushing forward, and Saturn has noticed. The money situation this month will reflect this. Not a crisis, but a quiet narrowing that makes you think about how much you've been spending on things you describe as treating yourself, but are actually just a subscription you forgot to cancel and a lot of very nice olive oil. In love, the issue this month is not that you're too much, it's that you're too available in the wrong direction. You turn up fully for people who are, frankly, renting space in your head at below market rate. A partner or someone close will say something careless, and you will spend 4 days deciding whether it meant what you think it meant, running it past friends, sleeping on it, and eventually concluding that you were probably being oversensitive. You weren't. You just can't bear to make anything difficult. The bit you won't want to hear, you have a system for the washing up that makes sense only to you, and you get mildly aggrieved when other people load the drying rack differently. You've never told anyone the rules. You just sigh, quietly, and rearrange things after they've left the kitchen. By the full moon in Aquarius, on the 30th, landing in your 8th house of shared resources and other people's business, something comes to light that you probably half knew. You'll handle it better than expected. You usually do, when it's finally out in the open. You're much braver with the actual crisis than you are with the anticipation of it, which is almost impressive, and would be more impressive if you didn't spend the preceding 3 weeks making yourself miserable for no reason. The soup was good, though. It was always going to be good. Onwards. I use the word loosely. Leo, Jupiter moved into your sign on the 9th of June, and it brought something with it that you really didn't need, more confidence. You were already operating at approximately 140% of the recommended daily allowance. Now you're wandering around July, radiating the quiet certainty of someone who's just been told they're destined for greatness, which is lovely, except that destiny still requires you to actually do the work, and that part seems to have got lost in the post. This is the month you'll mistake feeling ready for being ready. Jupiter in Leo at the very beginning of the first degree is all potential and almost no traction. It's the first 5 seconds of a firework, the bit that goes up. Whether it goes off is another question entirely. Meanwhile, Mercury turns retrograde on the 4th and doesn't come back to its senses until the 25th, spending most of that time in Cancer, which rules your 12th house. The 12th house is where things go to be quietly ignored until they become a crisis. Mercury here and backwards means that whatever you've been not quite saying, not quite processing, and not quite dealing with, feelings mostly, but also one specific conversation you've been putting off for 6 weeks, is about to come up through the floorboards. You will handle this by changing the subject. In love, the thing you'll do this month that nobody ever names but everyone who's dated a Leo knows about is this. You'll become oddly unavailable at exactly the point someone gets close. Not cruel, not dramatic, just suddenly very busy with your own narrative. Venus starts the month in your sign and shifts into Virgo around the 10th, which takes the gloss off slightly and asks you to be of service rather than simply of interest. This will feel like an insult. It isn't. The full moon on the 30th falls in Aquarius, which is directly across the chart from you, in your 7th house of partnerships. Oh, Aquarius full moon has the particular talent for illuminating everything you've been pretending is fine. If there's something slightly wrong with a relationship, romantic, professional, or the friend who's been doing that thing you haven't mentioned, it will be significantly more visible by the end of the month. You can thank Jupiter for making sure you see it in widescreen. At work, Saturn in Aries is moving through your 9th house and asking whether your ambitions are actually built on anything structural, or whether they're built on the assumption that your ambitions alone should be sufficient. Saturn doesn't care how compelling your vision is. Saturn wants to see the spreadsheet. This is deeply unfair. And yet, the bit you won't want to hear is this: you've been waiting to be discovered. Not consciously, you'd never frame it that way, but there's a part of you that believes if you simply continue being yourself with enough conviction, the right people will notice and the right things will happen. Jupiter conjunct your sun this month will make that feeling stronger, not weaker. Watch for the gap between visibility and movement. Being seen is not the same as going somewhere. Here is your backhanded affirmation. When all the conditions are right, when you're actually applying that ambition instead of just radiating it, you are, I'll admit, extremely hard to ignore. July is not that moment, but it's the run-up to it, If you'd stop rehearsing your speech long enough to do the preparation. All right, who's next on the list? Virgo. July is going to require you to have a feeling, Virgo, and I'm not going to pretend that isn't a medical-grade inconvenience for you. Venus moves into your sign from the 26th onwards, which is lovely, and you will absolutely use it as an excuse to reorganize your skincare routine and buy yourself something with a clean label instead of confronting any of the things that are actually wrong. This is a Virgo power move, and I respect it even while deploring it. The Sun moves from Cancer into Leo partway through the month, which means it's lighting up your 12th house, then your first. Your 12th house is the bit of the chart where all the things you haven't dealt with live. Imagine a very tidy room, floor to ceiling with feelings you filed under to process later and then never looked at again. That room gets a lot of light in July. You will probably respond by deep cleaning a different room. Mercury goes retrograde from around the 4th to the 25th, in Cancer, sitting in your 11th house of friendships and group dynamics. Someone is going to say something to you in early July, possibly over text, probably ambiguously worded, and you are going to spend the next 3 weeks constructing an extremely detailed internal tribunal about what they meant by it while saying nothing to their face. Gemini Mercury retrograde would just say the thing and regret it immediately. That's its own nightmare, but at least it's over quickly. Your version lingers. You are an enthusiastic long hauler. There is a conversation that needs to happen in your closest relationship, romantic or otherwise. You already know this. You have, in fact, been aware of it since approximately March. With Saturn in Aries pushing hard on your 8th house of shared resources and intimate power dynamics, the thing you've been not quite discussing has probably acquired a faint but noticeable smell. You've been managing around it with care and diligence and the quiet heroism of someone defusing a bomb they themselves wired. July is when the timer gets very audible. The part you won't want to hear. The reason you haven't said it yet isn't that you're waiting for the right moment. You're very good at finding the right moment when it suits you. You're waiting because you've already run every possible version of the conversation in your head, identified 17 ways it could go wrong, and quietly decided that managing the situation indefinitely is more comfortable than risking an outcome you can't control. That's not patience. That's preemptive loss avoidance, dressed up as consideration for others. At work, Jupiter is sitting right at the very start of Leo in your 12th house, which makes the first half of the month better suited to background work than grand announcements. This actually suits you fine because you prefer to have everything finished and perfect before anyone looks at it. Just try not to use "I'm not quite ready" as a sentence you say to yourself past the 26th, when Venus in Virgo makes everything feel a bit more viable. The full moon in Aquarius on the 30th lights up your 6th house of daily routine and health. Something about the way you're living day to day needs a proper look, not a tweak, an actual look. You will be tempted to tweak. You are, underneath all this intricate self-management, someone who notices everything and cares about most of it. The people in your life know this, even when you're doing a very convincing impression of someone who's merely being helpful. Just say the thing. It probably won't go 17 ways wrong. Maybe 3 or 4. Tops. Brace yourself. Libra. You've decided this is the month you sort yourself out. Not in a vague, drifting way, but properly. You've been thinking about it since June. You have a list. You may have bought a new notebook specifically for this purpose, and if you haven't, you've thought about buying one. Which for a Libra amounts to essentially the same thing. The bad news is that Saturn is sitting in Aries, which is your opposite sign, your 7th house, the house of partnerships and other people. It has been there for a while, and it will be there for a while yet. What this means in practice is that the universe is very gently but very firmly asking you to stop outsourcing your sense of self to whoever you happen to be closest to. You won't want to hear this. You'll read it and think, "But I'm not doing that." And then you'll spend 40 minutes asking someone else what they think of your new notebook idea. Mercury goes retrograde on the 4th and doesn't straighten up until the 25th, which covers the better part of the whole month. It's retrograding through Cancer, which sits in your 10th house of career and public reputation. Documents go missing, emails arrive late, or not at all. A conversation you thought was resolved turns out not to have been resolved. It turns out to have been temporarily submerged. Do not sign anything important in the first 3 weeks of July. Do not assume that silence means yes. The career note this month is specifically about credit. You did something good. Someone else is getting the acknowledgement. Your instinct will be to let it go, because making a fuss is aesthetically unpleasant and Libra would rather suffer quietly than cause a scene. The suffering quietly option is available to you, yes. It is also a choice with consequences. Venus, your ruling planet, starts the month in Leo and moves into Virgo around the 18th. This is a shift from wanting to be adored to wanting to be useful. And for a Libra, this transition is bumpy because useful requires you to take a position and hold it without checking whether everyone in the room approves. Venus in Virgo, in your 12th house, wants you to do something kind with no audience and no reward. This will feel deeply counterintuitive. The full moon on the 30th falls in Aquarius, which is your 5th house of creativity, pleasure, and, yes, romance. A month's worth of tension arrives somewhere and asks to be looked at. Someone you've been arranging your feelings around very carefully will say something that makes you realize the arrangement isn't working. The thing I've been saving up. You are brilliant at making peace between other people and remarkably skilled at letting the problems in your own life become so aesthetically arranged that they stop looking like problems. You've framed things as choices when they were avoidances. You've called it balance when it was stasis. Jupiter just moved into Leo in your 11th house, which is genuinely promising territory for your friendships and sense of belonging. But Jupiter rewards the people who've done the groundwork, not the people who have a very nice notebook about doing the groundwork. You are, underneath all of this, somebody who cares a great deal and thinks more carefully about other people than most. That is real, and it matters. You just need to occasionally apply the same consideration to yourself, and then, crucially, act on it rather than writing it down in very neat handwriting and closing the notebook. This one's going to sting, Scorpio. Right. July. I've been waiting to talk to you about July. You're going to spend the first 3 weeks of this month absolutely convinced that you're fine, that everything is under control, and that the person who wronged you 6 months ago is definitely not living rent-free in your head. You are wrong on all three counts, and the evidence will be posted publicly because Mercury retrograde begins on the 4th and it is spending the whole of July sitting in Cancer, which is your 9th house of belief systems, philosophy, and, critically, every hill you have ever chosen to die on. Mercury retrograde anywhere is annoying. Mercury retrograde in the sign of emotional memory, activating the part of your chart that governs what you believe to be fundamentally true, is a specific kind of catastrophe for someone who already keeps a mental ledger of every slight they've ever received, cross-referenced and indexed. You will send a message you shouldn't. Possibly two. You'll tell yourself it's closure. It is not closure. It is reconnaissance. The online behavior this month is going to be extraordinary, and I say that as someone who has watched Scorpios operate on the internet with the kind of horrified admiration you feel watching a chess grandmaster play draughts. You don't post in anger, that would be too obvious. You post adjacently. A song lyric, a quote about loyalty. Something from Rumi that's doing a lot of heavy lifting for a man who's been dead for 700 years. Everyone who knows you will know exactly who it's aimed at. You will maintain, if asked, that it's just something you found meaningful. You will believe this yourself, which is the impressive part. Mars is in Gemini this month, sitting in your 8th house, which governs shared resources, other people's money, and the psychological territory you'd rather not map. Mars in Gemini moves fast, talks fast, and commits to nothing for longer than 40 minutes. For you, this creates a particular kind of financial restlessness. You'll make a decision about money, an investment, a renegotiation, a subscription. You finally cancel in a blaze of self-improvement and then spend the rest of the month second-guessing it in private, because Scorpios do not publicly second-guess themselves. That's not how this works. Venus moves from Leo into Virgo partway through the month, shifting through your 10th house and into your 11th. In relationships, what this means practically is that you will start the month wanting to be adored by someone specific and end it doing a quiet audit of whether they actually deserve your adoration in return. The audit will not be kind. Whether it will be accurate is a different question. Here's what I know about you that you haven't told anyone. You have a voice note sitting in your drafts. You recorded it, listened to it back, decided it was too much and didn't send it. You made the right call. The full moon on the 30th in Aquarius lights up your fourth house, and whatever you've been sitting on, the real version, the one underneath the version you showed people, is going to want out. Let it out somewhere private. Saturn in Aries is squaring your sign all year, asking you to be accountable for things you'd rather attribute to other people. July is the month you'll feel that most. You're one of the few signs that actually gets better under pressure. The problem is, you keep creating pressure where there isn't any, just to feel like yourself. Oh, this should be fun, Sagittarius. Right, July. Let's talk about what you've been doing to your friendships. There's a pattern you have, and I've watched it long enough to give it a name, where you're present in everyone's life in theory and absent in practice. You share the big opinions, the hot takes, the unsolicited life advice delivered with the confidence of someone who's read half a book on the subject. But when someone texts you at 10 p.m. because they're actually struggling, you leave it on read until the morning, by which point you've composed a response so breezy it's basically a weather forecast. Jupiter moving into Leo this month is going to make this worse, much worse. Jupiter in Leo sits in your 9th house, which is your house anyway, your natural territory of big ideas, bigger horizons, and the faint but persistent belief that you are, at some fundamental level, more interesting than other people. Having Jupiter there is like handing a Labrador a second dinner. You're going to be expansive, magnetic, irresistible to yourself, and absolutely exhausting to everyone else. The group chat is not going to survive you in July. Mercury retrograde runs from around 4th of July to 25 July through Cancer, which is your 8th house. This is the house of shared finances, intimate trust, things that are owed. Someone is going to bring up money, a loan, a shared bill, a Spotify password that three people have been carrying since 2021 and everyone's silently resentful about. You will explain at length why the situation is actually fine and also, somehow, not your fault. Mercury retrograde in this position is designed specifically to make that conversation go badly. And I want you to know, you deserve it. Venus starts July in Leo alongside Jupiter, which is very glamorous and completely unearned, before shifting into Virgo around the third week. In Leo, Venus, in your 9th house, makes you think you're in a period of romantic destiny. You are not. You're in a period of very good lighting. When Venus moves into Virgo and your 10th house, the flattering glow goes. And what's left is your actual professional reputation and whether the people you work with find you dependable. Reader, they find you stimulating. Saturn and Neptune are both in Aries this month, moving through your 5th house, creativity, pleasure, romantic drama. The performance of being yourself. Saturn there has been quietly asking you to take something seriously for a while now. You've been responding to Saturn's questions the way you respond to all inconvenient questions, which is to start answering and then pivot to a tangentially related anecdote about a trip you took. Here's the observation you will hate most. You don't actually want advice. You want an audience. The friends you haven't texted back, the partner you've half listened to, the colleague you interrupted twice before they finished their sentence, they've noticed. The full moon on 30th of July falls in Aquarius and your third house, which governs communication and the immediate community around you. Full moons illuminate. This one's pointed directly at how you talk, how often you talk, and the gap between those two things, and how often you listen. You're not a bad friend. You're an inattentive one, which in the long run is more painful because it's deniable. The good news, and there is some, is that you're one of the few signs who, once they actually see a pattern, can change it almost immediately. The catch is getting you to look at it long enough to see it. Consider this July your invitation to stop performing and start turning up. The people in your life would rather have the imperfect version of you that actually shows up than the magnificent version that arrives 40 minutes late with a really good story about why. Now then, Capricorn, July arrives and you're already drawing up a spreadsheet, not because you need one. Because making a spreadsheet about the chaos feels like controlling it, and controlling things is your primary love language. The problem this month is that the chaos is largely financial and the spreadsheet is full of lies you've told yourself. Venus moves through Leo for most of July before shifting into Virgo late in the month, and she is doing something to your idea of what you deserve. Leo sits in your eighth house, the one that governs shared money, debts, and the deep psychological reasons you do anything at all. Venus here makes desire feel justified. It makes the thing you've been eyeing for 3 months feel like a reward rather than a purchase. You will buy it. You will phrase this to yourself as investing in yourself, which is technically true in the same way that technically the biscuit tin is a form of self-care. The career front looks genuinely busy, and for once, that's not a punishment. Jupiter has just moved into Leo at almost 0 degrees, which means it's sitting right at the entrance to your eighth house, blinking expectantly. Something involving money, resources, or other people's financial trust in you is beginning. An early stage, fragile, important. Don't invoice anyone in the wrong currency and call it a misunderstanding. Mercury goes retrograde on the 4th in Cancer, which is your 7th house, and stays that way until the 25th. Your 7th house is partnerships, the official kind. A professional relationship will require a conversation you've been drafting in your head for 6 weeks and haven't sent. You will blame Mercury retrograde. You are partially correct, but only partially, because the draft existed before the retrograde did, and you know that. In love, the thing nobody says about Capricorns is that you don't go cold because you don't feel things. You go cold because you feel them very loudly and find that completely unacceptable. July will hand you a moment of genuine softness towards someone, probably mid-month, probably inconveniently timed, and your instinct will be to convert it into a practical gesture. You'll fix something in their flat or send them a useful link or recommend a podcast. This is you saying I love you in a language you hope they understand. Some of them don't. You might, just this once, use your words instead of a podcast. The full moon on the 30th lands in Aquarius, your second house, which governs your money, your possessions, and your sense of what you're worth. Something comes to a head. A subscription you haven't cancelled in 8 months will finally surface as a line item at exactly the wrong moment. And you will sit with it in the specific way that you sit with financial evidence of your own irrationality, which is to say, silently and with tremendous dignity, and without ever admitting it out loud. Here is the thing nobody will tell you. You are not as unsentimental as you present yourself. You've kept things long past their usefulness because getting rid of them felt like admitting something. The subscription, the situationship, the vision board from 2022 that you haven't taken down, because taking it down means deciding. July is going to ask you to decide. You'll manage it, of course. You always do. You'll be slightly less prepared than you'd like, slightly more emotional than you'd planned, and you'll emerge from the month with everything more or less intact and an extremely detailed account of what went wrong and how to prevent it happening again, which you will not follow. But the spreadsheet will be beautiful. Deep breath. Aquarius, Pluto has been sitting in your sign for a while now, doing its slow, grinding, personality demolition work, and you've mostly responded by reading one book about it and telling everyone you've done a lot of inner work recently. July is the month that particular phrase stops being a free pass. The full moon falls in Aquarius on the 30th, your sign, your moon, your reckoning. Whatever you've been incubating since January, the project you mentioned once and never returned to, the conversation you keep meaning to have, the version of yourself you've been workshopping in your head for 18 months, it comes due. The universe is not known for extending deadlines. Mercury goes retrograde in Cancer from around the 4th to the 25th, activating your sixth house of work, routine, and the small daily mechanisms by which life either functions or doesn't. Emails will go missing. Wording will be misread. You will send a message to the wrong person, and it will be fine, because it'll be something you'd already said to three other people anyway. Mercury retrograde in the sixth house is less disaster and more administrative purgatory, which is honestly worse, because at least a disaster has a narrative. On the money. Venus moves from Leo into Virgo this month, crossing your seventh house threshold and prompting you to evaluate what your relationships are actually costing you. Aquarius will interpret this as a spiritual question. It is also a literal one. You have a subscription to something you haven't opened since February. You know which one. You looked at it last week and thought, I really should use that, and then watch television for 2 hours instead. Cancel it. I know you won't, because it represents the person you intend to become, and cancelling it would mean admitting that person isn't currently in residence. That's the real cost. Jupiter has just entered Leo at the very beginning of the sign, lighting up your seventh house of partnerships with the particular energy of a new guest arriving and immediately rearranging your furniture. Someone enters your orbit this month with significantly more confidence than the situation probably warrants. You'll find this either magnetic or exhausting, depending entirely on how much sleep you've had. Saturn in Aries is squaring your sign from the third house of communication, which means the things you know how to say perfectly in your head will come out sideways in your mouth, or not at all. You'll overthink the wording of a message until the moment has passed, then comfort yourself with the idea that the other person probably understood anyway. They didn't. You have to actually say the thing. Here's what you won't want to hear. You don't have a spending problem. You have a certainty problem. Every unnecessary purchase is, in your mind, a solved problem. The journal will make you more organized. The course will make you more employable. The expensive thing will make you more like the person you've decided to become. You're not buying objects, you're buying proof of intention. And the reason it never quite works is that intention without follow-through isn't a character trait, it's an aesthetic. The full moon at the end of the month, in your sign, asks you to look at what you've actually completed versus what you've merely begun with great enthusiasm and excellent taste in purchases. You are, underneath all of it, someone who genuinely wants to make things better. For yourself, for other people, for the general trajectory of human civilization, which you do sometimes think about at 2 a.m. That's not nothing. It's quite a lot, actually. It just needs to come down from the stratosphere and do some paperwork. And now for reasons I'm sure they'll regret reading. Pisces. Right then, Pisces. I've been watching your sign for 11 years now, and July 2026 is the month I finally say the quiet parts out loud. You have spent the last several months telling yourself you're being guided by intuition, when what you're actually being guided by is avoidance, dressed in a floaty cardigan. This month, Neptune, your ruling planet, currently sitting in Aries and deeply uncomfortable about it, is being asked to develop a spine. And so, by extension, are you. The overarching theme of July is the gap between what you feel and what you do. Jupiter moves into Leo this month, and your sixth house of daily work and routine is lighting up with the kind of optimistic energy that makes Pisces absolutely furious, because it requires showing up consistently rather than being periodically brilliant and then disappearing for 4 days. Jupiter in Leo wants a performance. It wants you to be visible, capable, and slightly louder than you'd prefer. You will find this exhausting and also secretly thrilling, which is at least better than last month. Mercury goes retrograde on the 4th and doesn't come back to its senses until the 25th, which in practical terms means that every email you send in the first 3 weeks will read as either more passive-aggressive or more emotionally available than you intended. In Cancer, this retrograde sits in your 5th house, stirring up old creative projects, old romantic feelings, and, almost certainly, one conversation you absolutely should not be having with someone you definitely should not have texted. You know the one. In love, you will do the thing I find most characteristic of your sign, which is not before you protest that you're too romantic. It's that you treat intimacy like a loan you're not sure you can afford. You'll let someone get close enough to be useful, then flinch when they get close enough to know you. The Venus shift from Leo into Virgo mid-month will move your 7th house into scrutiny mode, and suddenly you'll be cataloguing a partner's flaws with the focus of a forensic accountant, which is impressive for someone who hasn't read their bank statement since February. About that, the spending. I know about the spending, Pisces. I know about the purchase you made at 11 p.m. because the description used the word artisanal and you'd had 2 glasses of wine and the week had been a lot. I know about the subscription you cancelled in your head during a walk but not in real life, not with your actual hands and bank details. Jupiter entering Leo is not going to help this, because Jupiter in Leo is the astrological equivalent of a very confident sales assistant who says the expensive one suits you better, and you will agree, and you will buy it, and you will feel briefly like a person who has their life together, which is its own kind of high. The full moon on the 30th falls in Aquarius, your 12th house of self-undoing, secrets, and things you know about yourself, but prefer not to look at directly. A 12th house full moon at the end of a Mercury retrograde month is the universe putting a very bright torch into a room you've been keeping dark on purpose. Whatever surfaces in the final days of July is not new information. You've known it was there. Here is the thing I'll give you, though. You keep going. Not loudly, not always gracefully, not without buying several unnecessary things on the way. But you keep going, and you do it with more compassion for other people than most signs could manage on their best day. You are, underneath all the evasion and the late-night online shopping and the texts you draft and don't send, one of the most genuinely kind people in the zodiac. It would just be nice if you were occasionally kind to your bank account. All 12 signs. July 2026. Done. If you recognized yourself in any of that, and you did, you can get daily readings, weekly forecasts, and personalized natal chart readings at badastrologer.com. I'll be back next month to do this all over again. In the meantime, blame Mercury. Everyone else does.